today is, in case you didn't know, it's April 1st. And so in the United States, we celebrate or remember this day by calling it April Fool's Day. And it occurs obviously once a year. Imagine that, huh? It has been celebrated for only several centuries by different cultures. But the exact origin of it remains a little bit of a questionable and maybe a bit of a mystery. But tradition has told us that it includes like playing practical jokes or what are some people in some parts of the world called hoaxes on others. And then at the end, yelling, April Fools, and everybody laughs to clue them in that they were the subject of an April Fool's Day prank. So while it's a bit shrouded in mystery, the embrace of April Fool's Day by the media and major brands has ensured that it'll probably last for all time and eternity. So I remember when I was in another lifetime, a teacher in a junior high school. That's a long time ago. The common April Fool's Day prank was to give the students a test, an unannounced one, or a quiz, and then, at the end, after collecting them, and they were kind of boo-hooing and crying, and as junior high school students can do, you tore them up and announced April Fool's Day. So by the end of the third period of the day, that joke was very stale, and they didn't fall for it anymore. So, but we have a little difficulty establishing the origin of it, and some people think it dates back to around maybe 1580s, 82 maybe, when France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, which is those kind of things are interesting to me. And that happened after the Council of Trent, and they wanted in the Julian calendar, the new year began with the spring equinox, and that was usually happened around, depending on where you lived, April 1st. So people who were slow to get the news or failed to recognize that the start of the new year had moved to January 1st and continued to celebrate it during the last week of March through April 1st, those people became the butt of jokes and hoaxes, and they were kindly, I hope, called April Fools. So those pranks were, as you can imagine, any kind of them, and you were looking for the gullibility of a person and trying to just trick them in a good-hearted way. So sometimes the historians link April Fool's Day to a festival such as Ilaria, which is Latin for the word joyful. And that was celebrated in ancient Rome, Rome, at the end of March by following one of the cults. And it involved people dressing up in disguises and mocking other citizens, even the magistrates, which was kind of interesting, and was said to be inspired some probably from people from the Egyptian legends of Isis. So it spread throughout Europe and then into Britain, England, and Scotland. And the tradition kind of became a two-day event while they were hunting the Goak, I think it is pronounced, in which people were sent on phony errands to find what is essentially what we would call a cuckoo bird. And the cuckoo bird has always been a symbol, in literature at least, for a fool. So, April Fool's Day's jokes and pranks are kind of common. I don't teach junior high school anymore, thank you, Lord. But in modern times, people have gone to great extents to celebrate it. Newspapers, radios, TV stations, and websites all participate in the April 1st tradition, and they kind of report outrageous claims that have and try to fool their audiences. So here's a few of those to kind of give this some kind of a label. In 1957, the BBC reported that the Swiss farmers were experiencing a record spaghetti crop, and they actually showed footage of people harvesting noodles from trees. Okay, April Fools, right? 1985, Sports Illustrated writer George Plimpton tricked a lot of readers when he made up an article about a rookie pitcher named Sid Finch, who could throw a fastball over 168 miles per hour. That's quite a fastball. In 1992, Public National Radio ran a spot with former President Nixon, saying he was running for president again, but it really wasn't Nixon. It was an actor that looked like him. And the segment was all an April Fool's Day prank that caught the whole country by surprise. I don't remember any of those, of course. Taco Bell in 1996 tried to get people on board with an April Fool's Day joke, and they announced that they had agreed to purchase the Philadelphia Liberty Bell And they were going to rename it the Taco Liberty Bell. I don't know if that made people mad. I don't know if people even cared about that. But I lived and taught around Philadelphia for several years. And so that made a funny little joke. In 1998, here's a funny one. After Burger King advertised it was going to sell a left-handed Whopper, a lot of people came in and requested the fake sandwich. You know, sell me the left-handed Whopper. And yeah, I suppose that on some level is supposed to be funny. And April Fool's jokes are just kind of outlandish. They're ridiculous. They don't make any sense. They're not meant to harm anybody. It's just a funny day and so forth. And as I said, when I was a teacher in a junior high school, April Fool's Day was always an interesting day and allowed the students and to be maybe a little bit less strict and the students to have a little fun. And it was all done in good fun. And so, but as I said, by the middle of the day, third period, that was getting old. So I want to think about April Fool's Day and some lessons from what the Bible might have for us. So we read in parallel passages in 1 Kings 3, I think it's 3 down to 15, and that parallels with 2 Chronicles 1, 7 to 12. So King Solomon, who was known for his wisdom, asked God for understanding to govern his people. And his reign exemplifies how wisdom leads to prosperity and peace. And that is contrasted with foolish leadership that causes chaos. And I think we can see the bit of the logistics there. The prodigal son, we read about the prodigal son in Luke 15, and his reckless decisions to squander his inheritance. That story reflects his youthful foolishness. His eventual return and repentance demonstrate for us that recognizing and learning from foolish choices should hopefully lead us to redemption. So those examples reinforce the biblical call to pursue wisdom, while at the same time avoiding foolishness. And both of those should provide us with practical lessons for navigating through our daily life. Now, I'm really totally aware that we don't read specifically about April Fool's Day in Scripture. But we do find a lot in Scripture, when I started to look this up, about foolishness and wisdom. When Jesus taught us not to call our brothers a fool, he was not condemning people or he was not being discerning. He was also not saying we should never use the word fool. Instead, Jesus was condemning a wrongful, judgmental spirit that calls and leads us to angry insults. So in Matthew 5:22, Jesus' teachings caution us to against using what would be known as derogatory terms, like the word fool, in a way that diminishes another's intrinsic value as an image bearer of God, because that would reflect a heart condition contrary to love and respect. And if the gospel is about anything, and we know it is, it's about love and respect of our fellow human beings, of our earth, of the animal kingdom. Of respect is a vein that runs throughout the entire Bible. Paul used the words foolish in Galatians 3:1, and he was targeting the erroneous beliefs and practices, and his aim was to correct and guide rather than demean people. Jesus taught us the proper heart attitude a believer should have. Believers are to live out God's kingdom values, and you can read about that in Matthew, throughout all of Matthew 5. You can also read that about our love for others in John, especially 13, 34 to 35, in the 1 John chapter 4. Those scriptures reflect the character of Jesus to the world and how he treated people with respect and value, and the value that they deserve, since, and here's the point I'm getting to, we have been made in the image of God. So it is in the biblical account, both Jesus and Paul emphasize the need for heart transformation and sincere love that aligns our behavior with the recognition that every person bears God's image and deserves respect. Our society lacks a great deal of that today, I think. Ultimately, the difference lies in the intent we have. So Jesus forbids harmful insults, tells us they reveal a sinful heart. And Paul rebukes and seeks correction and growth through understanding. So in the Old Testament, we read early on, very early on in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And our behavior towards others should show our awareness that I am created in the image of God, you are created in the image of God, and we all have the possibility to become image bearers of God as we walk daily through this life. Jesus, similarly, in other accounts, he condemns vulgarity where we insult someone because that shows a disrespect for what God has made. There's a lesson I think we would be wise to work into our daily lives, right? We read in Psalm 8, the psalm by David, who says rhetorically, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Wow. That psalm continues by outlawing all the honor that God has given us. For instance, it says, "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." Imagine that. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. Those are blessings that we receive as human beings, and they show our worth in God's eyes. And we should always keep that in mind when we are interacting with others. So let's go back to Matthew 5:22. Jesus warns people about the way they talk to others. Jesus said, "Whoever says, 'You fool,'" pay attention to this part of it, "you will be liable to the fire of hell." That's pretty amazing. So the Greek word that is used there is to translate fool, there is raka. And it means empty, senseless. It means empty-headed. So raka is a term of reproach, and it expresses a judgment call on someone's humanity. Using that term regarding another human being would be the wrong way for those who claim to follow Christ. Jesus said believers are to be salt and light in Matthew 5. He said we should let our light shine before others so that they will see our example and give glory to God. Our words matter. What we say to people matter. The actual word, the vocabulary, the way we say it matters. Our facial expression, all of that is in the communication process. All of that matters. So when we get to Galatians 3:1, our brother Paul calls people foolish. And he refers to not understanding or being unwise. It's not a judgment character about one's worth. Paul was not angrily insulting others. He was pointing out the error in what the Galatians believed. And he's trying to get them to come back into a right relationship and an understanding of how they should live for God. In 1 Corinthians 1:25 to 27, also in 1 Corinthians 3:18, Paul speaks. Now, this is an interesting way of using the word, and it's the way I'd like to emphasize. Being a fool in the eyes of the world, and he uses the word moros. He's making points about how the world views the gospel. Now, if you've lived 5 days or 5 months as a Christian, you know that there's people in the world that just don't view the gospel in a positive light. They think we're strange, ridiculous, all kinds of negative things. So we shouldn't be thinking of personal insults, but rhetorical maneuvers to distinguish the truth of the gospel from the wisdom of that we can obtain in this world. One more scripture in Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus asks, you know this scripture, about the greatest commandment. He replies, Jesus was asked, I'm sorry. He replies, you shall love, this is amazing. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And he says further, that is the greatest and first commandment. The second one is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Using angry or detrimental insults like fool is the very polar opposite of those two commandments in Matthew. Loving God entails that we love those who bear his image. And very, very importantly is that we act accordingly. Our actions back up our words, and our words back up our actions. Words, we know, often reflect the heart. We're told that in Matthew 12:34. When Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He warns us on the day of the judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Wow. That connects to Jesus. That connects to Jesus' admonishment against calling someone raka or fool. It also points to the need for a savior, since all of us at times in our humanness, in our human nature, we speak carelessly. We don't think. I've heard this statement many times. You know, I spoke before my words were coming out of my mouth before my brain was in the right gear. That could be translated several ways, I suppose. But the challenge of controlling our speech is also explored in James in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, where it says, and this is fascinating, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. So the latter part of that verse implies chastisement for cursing others since they are made in the likeness of God. Doesn't that completely fit with the message of Jesus in Matthew 5:22? I think so. And though no human being can tame the tongue forever, however, with the Holy Spirit, we gain the strength to do so. And it's like as if we learn to be a different person. You know, when we become a Christian, our patterns change, our speech changes, our habits change, our outlook on life changes. So what are the implications for us today about that? So I'd like you to think for a few minutes about the last time you were angry. And don't be so righteous to tell me you weren't ever angry, because you have been. So how did you react when you were angry? You know, every day we encounter others who kind of annoy us. Maybe it's the person who cut you off in traffic. I lived in Latin America for 25 years, and traffic patterns there were, to say the very least, terrible. Or maybe it's something as serious as a relative who cut you out of your rightful inheritance. You know, even as believers, we sometimes react to such circumstances with anger. We might even say some insulting things out of that angry heart. But because of our love for God, we are called to speak to others with the awareness that they are God's image bearers. Jesus connects calling someone raka or a fool to the sin of anger and indicates that it is grounds for judgment. Followers of Christ should always try to avoid behavior that does not glorify our Heavenly Father. Sometimes that is challenging in our world, isn't it? Again, in Matthew 5:22 and other portions of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, point to the sinful heart and our need for Christ. Without him, we really could be, and probably should be, well, definitely should be, condemned for angrily calling a brother a fool. You know, we can disagree with others. We can warn them if we notice them erring, but we should avoid speaking to others in a way that diminishes their intrinsic value as fellow image bearers. Our communication with others should be seasoned with salt, Colossians 4, rather than with insults. So what are you going to do today with the remainder of your April Fool Day? What are you going to do for Christ with the remainder of April Fool's Day? Does it make sense that we do our part of going into all the world to preach the gospel by being kind to our neighbors? You know, the neighbors who live next door to you and the ones that have those noisy parties, or the neighbor that parks their car on your side of the parking place. Does it make sense that when we are struggling to buy our own homes, that we put money in something called an alabaster box? And if you don't know what that means, you know, check in with an older Nazarene. They'll get it. They understand it. Did it make any kind of human sense for Jesus, the Son of God, the divine, the holy? Did it make sense for him to leave heaven to come to earth? He didn't come as a superhero. He came as a weak, needy baby to grow into a man and willingly give his life by dying, excuse me, on a horrific, cruel cross for me and for you. None of that makes human sense. So today, as we go through our day, why don't you do something outlandish or maybe even foolish and tell somebody about Jesus? I don't mean call your buddy from the church, your favorite person in the church, and talk to them about Jesus. I challenge you and I challenge me to just tell somebody you might meet at the grocery store or at the post office or wherever you're going today that Jesus loves them. I don't suggest we are, you know, we browbeat them about their sin and tell them, you know, you're a bad driver, you shouldn't wear that, you shouldn't talk like that. I suggest that we just tell somebody, no matter how they have acted towards us, that Jesus loves them. That's an amazing and powerful statement. Let's not play pranks on people. Most of us are probably too old to do that. We've been out of junior high school for a long time. But today, all days, let's be Jesus to each other. And even more so, that's easy to do when other people are Christians sometimes. It's not easy to be Jesus to other Christians. But let's be Jesus to non-Christians that live in our neighborhood. Let's be Jesus today and spend ourselves for him. Why would we do that? The answer is so, so simple. So that by all means, excuse me, and by any means, someone, because of how we act and how we talk, might just want to know who Jesus Christ is. That day would be worth it, wouldn't it? Okay, April Fool's Day. Play a prank on somebody. Have a good time. Be kind. And go ahead and be foolish for Christ. Doesn't cost a lot to be foolish for Christ. All we have to do is be willing to follow him where he wants us to go. Let me pray a word. Father, help us today. Help us, excuse me, first of all, to follow you. Show us people who need you today. Help us to shine with your love, shine with your understanding and your mercy, and help us to be able to lead them to ask for forgiveness and your presence in their lives. Father, walk before us today. Lead us. Help us. Use us. Help us to be brave and daring and maybe, just maybe, a little bit foolish for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen.